ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर दिस संडे आफ्टरनून लव फिस्ट प्रोग्राम ऑफ श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ टेम्पल। Even though I'm unqualified, I'd like to speak a few words in the glory of devotional service. Please accept with all the faults. And I seek blessings of all the sincere Vaishnavas who are sitting here, all of you, that I may be able to speak something. Today is a very important day. Today is Ekadashi. As well as, of course, I have not seen the calendar. I just saw this 6th Goswami standing here. So I asked Gaurang Prabhu. So it's Rupa Goswami's disappearance day as well. So very, very wonderful day to be together with the devotees. So on such days, I particularly chose this bhajan, Shuddha Bhakta Charana Renu, because it glorifies the Madhava Tithis, like Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, appearance and disappearance days of various Vaishnavas. All these are Madhava Tithis. And they are described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as mother of devotion. So they are very important days. Devotees all over the world, on these particular days, they fast. Not only they fast from food grains, but they fast from all other nonsense. It is called as upavas. That means you just are very close to the Lord. Upavas means just next to the Lord. So on these days, we increase our chanting, we increase our reading, hearing, all the processes of devotional service, the 9 devotional services, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, all the 9 processes which we should try to execute. And in this way, take the greatest advantage of these Madhava Tithis. Then the devotion will grow in our heart. So it's a great opportunity that today we have come together. And we are sitting here in front of Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka, Shad Goswamis, Nitai Gaur Jangda, Gopalji, Srila Prabhupada, all the assembled Vaishnavas. So great opportunity. So the knowledge of the 9 processes of devotional service is a very basic knowledge in a devotee's life. Of course, in the beginning stages, we don't know what are the 9 processes. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we only know that there is something. Sometimes we don't even know that is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam are different. I don't know how many of you have this experience, but but I didn't know. I thought Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is same. Because we're not taught. So many scriptures. We have heard here and there. Only Ramayana, Mahabharata we know to some degree. Some stories from Chanda Mama or somewhere. So we think that we know. So, in spite of that, a initially very enthusiastic devotee tries to preach. That happened with me. That I came to Krishna Bhakti, went to the Hare Krishna land, Juhu, started chanting. I was convinced this is a very wonderful process. It works. And then first time I happened to go to my village. And with that initial enthusiasm, I started preaching to my father. So, I told him everything, what I'm doing. And he asked me, do you know what is Navavidha Bhakti? So, I had heard about Krishna Bhakti. Maximum I had heard was Sadhana Bhakti. So, I was thinking, what is this Navavidha Bhakti? It's completely new, maybe a few months old in Krishna consciousness. So, in India, we have to be careful, you know, talking to these seniors. But they know many words which are tricky. Sometimes they can quote a shloka from a particular Upanishad and you will be clean bold. Because you don't know. So Navavidha Bhakti is actually a very basic knowledge all over India. But unfortunately, it is our situation that modern education does not include it in the curriculum. That's the problem. So we don't know. Maximum we know is chanting Hare Krishna, eating nice prasad. Simple, that's bhakti. What is this Navavidha Bhakti? But this is a knowledge which everyone has to have. And Prahlad Maharaj is telling this to Hiranyakashipu. What is Navavidha Bhakti? So this bhakti can be done in various ways. Shravanam, we can just hear about the Lord and that will increase our attachment to the Lord. And there are many great personalities who have perfected their lives by just following one process. One process they follow and they perfect their life. So Shravanam, the perfect example of Shravanam, that means perfecting their lives through hearing, is Parikshit Maharaj. He just heard. He was so engrossed in hearing the Krishna Katha that he forgot about eating, sleeping. No activities were done by him for those 7 days when he was hearing. Complete perfection. And it is said Shukadeva Goswami, who was the narrator of Srimad Bhagavatam, he perfected his Krishna Bhakti by Kirtanam. That means telling about the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj is the epitome of Smaranam. Like that, we have various examples. But all these processes, they are intermingled. And every devotee, sometime or other, does every part of devotional service. And the perfection of all the 9 processes was Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was such a wonderful Vaishnava. Even though he was the king of the world, he had no desire to enjoy this material world. Absolutely no desire. And it is said, Shukadeva Goswami is describing about him to Parikshit Maharaj, that what a great king personality Maharaj Ambarish was. He had no tinge of desire to enjoy this material world. His all aspirations were how to satisfy Krishna. He was engaging his head in bowing down to the devotees. He was engaging his feet to walk to the holy places, go to the temple. He was using his hands to clean the temple and embrace the devotees. Like this, he was using his nostrils to smell the flowers and the incense offered to the Lord. He was using his tongue to taste the prasadam. He was using his ears to hear Krishna Katha. So everything, every whole existence was utilized in Krishna's service. And the last part, Shukadeva Goswami says, and he utilized all his desires in Krishna's service. So that is a little difficult. Hearing, okay, you can come and sit and hear the class. Or you can smell nice tulsi leaves, fragrant flowers, incense. You can bow down. You can eat nice prasad very happily. But how do we dovetail our desires? That's very difficult. And Ambarish Maharaj was such a great devotee only because he was able to dovetail every desire. He had no other desire except Krishna's desire. So that is the glory of Maharaj Ambarish. And that is the today's topic we are going to take. Desires. If our desires are right, then everything is all right. Because desires make or break our devotional service. In fact, Krishna is not so much interested in how do we do the external things. Bhakti is all about desires. Externally, we may do things very wonderfully. We may even chant the holy names very carefully, attentively. With a straight back, early in the morning, Brahma Muhurta, 16 rounds at a time. But ultimately, what is our desire? That is what Krishna is interested in. He is never impressed by the externalities of devotional service. Bhakti can be very much external. But actual bhakti is very much internal. It is not related to how we appear externally. How nice tilak we have. Or how nicely we have decorated ourselves. How we speak certain words. That is not bhakti. Bhakti is how and what we desire. And it's very easy. It's a very important barometer in a devotee's life. When we are progressing in Krishna consciousness for many, many years, we start, you know, taking things granted. But we must check our desires. Because we are what we think when we are unconscious. We are not conscious of the surroundings and that time what we speak and think. What are our dreams? What are our aspirations? That determines the quality of our desires and that determines the attraction of Krishna towards our heart. You can cheat everyone, but you can't cheat Krishna. Because he's very close in the heart. And there is one great pandit, Brahman. He was a multilingualist. And he came to the court of Akbar. And he challenged all his Navratnas, the nine jewels, that find out what is my real language. And he would speak in Sanskrit, he would speak in Gujarati, Marathi, whatever language you told, he could speak fluently. And no one could detect what is his language. Ultimately, Akbar summoned for Birbal, come and find out what is his language. Because this is an insult to all our people that we can't find out what is his language. So he said, no problem, tomorrow morning you will come to know what is his language. So Birbal took him to his house. You are a nice pandit, please come to my house for lunch or dinner. Fed him very well and made him sleep. And after he was sleeping, he put some grass in his ears. And that pandit shouted, Suche! Sorry. This is my concoction. Because I know only little Gujarati. And then Birbal went on peacefully. Next day morning, he went to the court of Akbar. And said, he's a Gujarati. Sorry, Gujaratis, please excuse me. I know only this little bit other language. So, this is the state of our heart also. That we can't cheat Krishna. Krishna is very expert at finding out what is our inner desire. What is the core of our desire? What are we thinking very internally? That is most important to Krishna. Krishna is never pleased by the externals. We may know number of shlokas, we may know how to give nice class, do nice kirtan, dress very well, externally appear very perfect devotee. But that is not impressing to Krishna. When Krishna came to Hastinapur to settle the matters between Pandavas and Kauravas, as a peacemaker, Shanti Dut Krishna. When he came, Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan heard that he is coming to make peace. So both of them, great diplomats, they thought we should impress Krishna. We should somehow, if we can divert Krishna from Pandava's side to our side, then we have nothing to fear. Because that's the only problem, that Pandavas have Krishna on their side. It's very difficult. So they made all the beautiful arrangements on the streets where Krishna is coming from. Nice pandals and coolers and dancers and musicians and nice foodstuffs. Everything was there. And in spite of that, the best cooks had prepared the best preparations. Krishna straight away went to Vidura's house. He didn't go to Duryodhana. And when he went to Vidura's house, he told Vidura's wife that I have come and I am very hungry. So Vidura's wife, Vidura was not there, he was in the palace. She was taking bath. Now the nature of attraction between the soul and Krishna is so great that all the external formalities, they just run away. Prabodhananda Saraswati sings like this, that since the time I have taken shelter of Krishna, I am not bothered to do these three sandhyas. I am not bothered about any regulative principles. I am simply happy being with Krishna. So Vidurani, she was just so happy that she forgot that she is not wearing clothes. She just came out of and started, come Krishna, come, come. She didn't realize that she is still not wearing clothes. Krishna had to throw his pitambar on her. And then he said, I'm hungry. So she made him sit and she started giving bananas. So when she is giving bananas, again she is throwing the banana and giving the peel. And Krishna is eating the banana peel. Very happily. She is crying, Krishna is crying. And Vidur comes and he says, oh mad woman, what are you doing? You're not wearing clothes. You're giving banana peels to Krishna. This is nonsense. At that time, Vidurani and Krishna both realized what they were doing. Even Krishna did not know that he was eating banana peel. He was thinking he's enjoying prasad. Nice bhoga. Why? Because Krishna just takes that very, very select desire of pleasing him. He is not bothered with your rasagullas and pakoras. He is never bothered about those things. He is bothered, what is the ingredient of love? What is that desire to please me? Therefore he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. That I take the bhakti from the food which we offer. So therefore in our temples when people come and eat, generally they, most important comment they make, the same khichdi we eat at home, but it's not so tasty. Why it is so tasty here? Same food we eat at home, it's not so tasty. Why it is so tasty here? Because there is a difference. The difference is, here Krishna also has tasted the devotion of the devotee who has prepared it. So in this way, we can see that Krishna is very much bothered, or he is very much attracted to our desires, the pure desires to please him, rather than anything which is external. And at the same time, Krishna detects any wrong desire in our heart. If externally we are very wonderful devotees, but internally we are harboring negative thoughts about other devotees, or negative thoughts about the Lord himself, Krishna detects it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one great devotee. His name was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was walking from his village to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And when he was going, he was continuously meditating, how will I meet the Lord? On the way, he met one great personality, Ramdas Vipra. So Ramdas Vipra was very happy that he got a company of such an exalted Vaishnava as Raghunath. But he was elder to Raghunath. And still, he was serving Raghunath Bhatt Goswami menially, saying that, let me serve you, let me carry your bag. So he was carrying his bag, sometimes massaging his feet, washing his clothes, all the way to Jagannath Puri, and never he stopped taking Ram's name. All the time he would chant Ram, 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 Ram. When he reached, both of them simultaneously reached Jagannath Puri. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, he was so pleased. He embraced him, started inquiring about all the details about his parents, about the preaching, everything. And devotees saw that somehow the Lord is completely neglecting this very great personality, Ramdas Vipra. And no one knew why he was so much neglected. But the acharyas, great acharyas, they know. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu detected in his heart a desire to be one with the Lord. And therefore, he completely neglected him. So you can't cheat Krishna. Krishna is sitting right there. So for our devotional life, what our desires do to us, that's very, very important. How we cultivate our desires. Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of importance to this. Shruta Kirti Prabhu tells the story of how Prabhupada could speak wonderful philosophy in few words. So once, in one of the temples, mostly it was Los Angeles, Prabhupada would go on morning walks and many senior devotees of Srila Prabhupada, they would accompany him. And among those senior devotees, there was always a competition. Who will ask maximum questions? So they would keep on asking questions and Prabhupada would keep on replying. So one day, many devotees, senior devotees were walking with Prabhupada and one simple devotee who had newly joined, he was also walking. So everyone was asking questions, but this devotee did not ask a single question. Probably he did not get an opportunity. But the morning walk ended and Prabhupada started going. So he was about to enter his car and about to close the door of the car. At that time, this devotee just ran to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, I have a question." So Prabhupada said, "Yes, what is your question?" So with folded hands, he said, "Prabhupada, I just want to know only one thing. How can I become Krishna conscious?" It's a very important question. And Prabhupada spoke a one word. He said, "Desire." So Prabhupada, acharyas like Prabhupada, they are expert at actually hitting at the right point. So Prabhupada said it all by just that one word, desire. Because it is desire which will bind us to this material world, and it is a desire which can liberate us from this material world. And therefore, on days like Ekadashi, we cultivate desires which are conducive to Krishna consciousness. Somehow, we may be inadequately prepared to give up all our desires. So therefore we take shelter of, today's Srila Rupa Goswami's disappearance day. Now how his desires were detected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What was pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Rupa Goswami is one famous story. That Rupa Goswami, he was a great writer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always was so proud of his handwriting. He would say, "What a handwriting. And what kind of shlokas is writing?" So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Haridas Thakur as his daily routine. And he sees one leaf on which Rupa Goswami had written something. It was a hut. So in the hut there was some gap in the roof, and that's where the leaf was there. And takes out and reads it. And what he sees is amazing. It was the second day of the Rath Yatra. And during the Rath Yatra festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing particular shlokas. And the mood which was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experiencing, that same mood was being written in the shloka by Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami's this shloka pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next day, Mahaprabhu brought everyone, all the devotees, please come, see what Rupa Goswami has written. And then he told Rupa Goswami to read it out. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him, he started slapping him. And then he asked Swarup Damodar, hey Swarup, how did Rupa Goswami know my heart? How does he know my desires, which are the innermost desires? So Swarup Damodar says, my Lord, it is not possible without your own mercy. It's impossible that Rupa Goswami can know your heart unless you allow him to know your heart. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time says that actually what you have said is correct. Seeing him very qualified, looking at his humility, I decided to give my heart to Rupa Goswami. Therefore, our sampradaya is actually known as Rupanugas, His Holiness Narayan Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's, you can say, God brother's disciple. We are almost equal contemporaries. Many years back, we were in Vrindavan. And he was telling the devotees, I was again a new devotee at that time. I couldn't understand what he's saying. But he was speaking very profound truth. He said, we don't care who is Krishna. If Radharani hates Krishna, we also hate Krishna. Because we are Rupanugas. We follow Rupa Manjari, who is the close associate of Srimati Radharani. So whatever Srimati Radharani decides, if she is angry with Krishna, we are all angry with Krishna. So this is Rupa Goswami's position in the hearts of Gaudi Vaishnavas. That Rupa Goswami is our Acharya who actually decided or he gave the knowledge which he received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all of us. And that knowledge is going on through the Guru Parampara system. And Srila Prabhupada has brought it to us. So, he also talks of these desires. And there are good desires and the bad desires. And our progress in devotional service will depend on what we feed them. Whether we protect our bad desires or we make all out effort to throw them out. That will decide where we will go, even in devotional service. After coming to devotional service also, sometimes after 20 years of chanting, 30 years of chanting, still the same anarthas keep on coming. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving this example. Quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, why does this happen? That the devotees who have chanted for 30 years the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And followed the regulative principles, still they can't stop from criticizing devotees. Sometimes they can even indulge in sinful activities. Why does it happen? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives a very wonderful story why it happens. So he talks of the story of marriage party. How this marriage party, the dulha, he wants to go to the other side, to the village of his bride. He has to reach in time. Next day, early morning, there is the marriage. And you have to reach early. Because there are so many ceremonies. So all these people, they take a boat in the night. All of them, they sit. And by morning, they were supposed to reach the village. And they see that the boatman is, he starts the boat and start rowing. And they're happy that, you know, the boat is going very nicely, very smooth ride. It's almost like not moving. It's going very smooth. So, they're very happy and they go to sleep. And next day morning when they get up, the sun rises and they see, we are at the same spot. What is happening? So they start accusing the boatman. What are you doing? No, I am rowing. You see, now also I am rowing. So one intelligent person, he goes out and sees. And then they realize that the anchor is still not pulled out. It is still there. So that's how the boat was still stuck. So this is the state that if we keep on, that keep that anchor of material desires on, then there is no question of the spiritual desires to get cultivated. Because when we come to Krishna consciousness, we have been given this Bhakti Lata Beej. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. So we get this seed and a small sprout of Bhakti Lata is growing by the 9 processes of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, etc. But while that is growing, many weeds grow. Those are our material desires. And sometimes the weeds also look like Bhakti Lata. They exactly look the same. We get confused. And sometimes we pluck out the Bhakti Lata and pour more water on the weeds. That's the problem. So therefore, a devotee is very, very careful in not allowing the material desires to entangle him further. Once we know that we have come to Krishna consciousness and still make the same mistake, there is no more unfortunate person than us. After knowing the whole process of devotional service, what pleases Krishna, we still keep on hankering after the material desires because we are not watered the Bhakti Lata properly. And therefore, a devotee takes very seriously the whole process of 9 processes of devotional service. Beginning with hearing and chanting. And in that way, the Bhakti Lata starts growing very nicely. But if you allow the envy, greed, lust, anger, everything, we just keep on praying that Krishna, give me more money. Krishna, give me association with opposite sex. Whatever desires we have, if we pray to Krishna for them, then it's a very unfortunate situation. And therefore, as devotees, we have to be very careful not to allow such kind of desires to take root in our heart. Because the process is same. It all begins with our contemplation. Dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate sangata sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate. It begins with the desire. Desire to associate. Association makes our desire. So if we associate more and more with material desires, more material desires will come. It is not going to be there is a theory that you satisfy your material desires to the fullest extent and you will be completely, you can say, freed from these material desires. There is a philosophy like that. That is not true. It is as if you are pouring more and more ghee on the fire. It blazes more and more hot. But if the desire is properly cultivated and material desires are negated, then the devotee is sure to achieve success in Krishna consciousness. And that is what the story of Ambarish Maharaj is. That Ambarish Maharaj, even though he was a grihastha with many queens, he is a king, he followed this Ekadashi Vrat for the welfare of his subjects. And one year, he was fasting. And in the month of Kartik, he was about to break his fast. So before breaking fast, we distributed many cows to all the Brahmins who had come. The cows had gold-plated horns and nice silver hooves, shoes for the cows. And every cow had just given birth to a calf, milking cows. And crores of cows. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaj Ambarish gave 60 crore cows to the Brahmanas on that day. And he fed all the Brahmanas very nicely. After feeding them, he was about to break his fast. And at that time, an uninvited guest came. And that was Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni externally was an ascetic, very, very accomplished yogi. As soon as he came, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped him. He gave him all the honor which was due for him. And he said, please join me for taking breakfast. He said, I will just go to the river, take my bath and come back. So Durvasa Muni went to the river and he started meditating on the impersonal Brahman. So he didn't know how much time went. And it was almost coming to that point of time where the Paran time will go away. So all that 1 year austerity will go west if Ambarish Maharaj waited beyond that point. So therefore Ambarish Maharaj talked to the Brahmanas, took their opinion, what shall I do in this situation? Because I can't eat before Durvasa Muni, at the same time I cannot not break my fast. So therefore, all of them together they decided that, okay, you can take little water. And Ambarish Maharaj took a sip of water and waited for Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni came after some time, but immediately he could recognize that this person has broken his fast. So he was very angry. Durvasa Muni was so angry that he was started trembling with anger. He couldn't control himself. He said, look at this man. He has invited me for food and is eaten before me. And therefore, O king, now you shall see how I punish you. Brahmanas had this power in the past. They're very, very powerful. And he took out a bunch of hair, dashed on the ground, and a big demon came out. But Krishna, he has given an order to his weapons. His Sudarshan, by the arrangement of the previous order, sometime in past he has given this order that always protect my devotee. Name bhaktya pranashyati. Sudarshan Chakra immediately appeared, killed that demon and started chasing the father of the demon. That is Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni was not an ordinary personality. He had all the mystic perfections. He could travel at the speed of mind. So he was just traveling and behind his back was the Sudarshan Chakra which is coming with full force. And it was burning his back. So he went to various personalities, important personalities, but no one could give him shelter. Ultimately he landed with Lord Brahma. But he thought Brahma is the original creator of this universe. Let me take his shelter. And Brahmaji said, no, this is the weapon of Lord Vishnu. I cannot do anything about it. I myself bow down my head to Lord Vishnu every day. So you better don't ask me for shelter. I can't do anything. I'm helpless. So he went to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, I don't know why he says this, but he says, my dear son, I can't help you. Now you have done something which is very dangerous. This is Sudarshan. This always protects Lord Narayan's devotees. And therefore, there is no one who can protect you from this danger. You can imagine the danger of offending a Vaishnava. We always speak, but this Durvasa Muni's example is very, very prominent, telling us, illustrating us how dangerous it is. What Krishna does, we can see from this story. And ultimately, Durvasa Muni lands in Vaikuntha planet and goes to Narayan. He is sitting with his Lakshmi and falls at his feet and said, "By my unfortunate situation, I have offended your dear devotee. And because of that, this Sudarshan is behind me. Only you can protect me." So what does Lord Narayan say? He says, "I am extremely sorry. I can't protect you. Because actually, I am completely dependent on my devotees. I am sold out to my devotees. So, they decide how I act. And this Sudarshan is not in my control. Now it is going to act. The only person who can forgive you or who can protect you is Maharaj Ambarish. So go back to him." And in this way, Durvasa Muni, he understands his mistake, comes back to Maharaj Ambarish. And Maharaj Ambarish, the beauty of Maharaj Ambarish is, he was so dependent. His, as it is said in the shloka, that his desires were completely in alignment with Krishna. He had no other desires. So when the demon came to him, he did not even tell Krishna that, "Please protect me." There was no prayer. He was saying, "If this personality is going to kill me, that is what Krishna's desire is. So let him kill me." But happened something else. So now also, when Durvasa Muni came, Maharaj Ambarish is feeling very aggrieved. The Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. He was feeling very aggrieved that he had to suffer so much because of him. And Durvasa Muni started offering prayers. Ambarish Maharaj started offering prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra and told him that you are the protector of the devotees and somehow this Brahman is being afflicted by you. Please relieve him of his pain. And immediately Sudarshan Chakra became quiet. So this is the power of the devotee who has aligned his desires with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, it is not easy to go at 70 years of age to a foreign country with no other, you can say, he had no securities. And today even the young people go abroad, they have so many things with them and so many people whom they can contact. All the arrangements are already made, money is already paid. But here's Prabhupada with 40 rupees. He doesn't know who is going to receive him, whether somebody will come or not. But there is one desire. The desire to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. The desire to fulfill Krishna's vani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vani, that my name will be sung all over the world, in every town and village. No one believed it before Srila Prabhupada. But he was so eager to fulfill this desire of Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he didn't care that he was 70 years old. He didn't care that he had only 40 rupees with him. He didn't care that he got heart attack. He was going on the ship and he got heart attack. There's no doctor around. Somehow he survives. Still he doesn't come back. His desire is in complete alignment. That's the secret of success in Krishna consciousness. That complete alignment with desire of Sri Krishna. And how do we know this desire? This desire is known to us by the process of Guru Parampara. That's why a devotee accepts initiation in Krishna consciousness. So that he can be guided by the desire of Krishna. Because there are many voices. Within our heart there are many voices. They all look alike. Very dangerous situation. Sometimes we may not be equipped with the right kind of knowledge to discriminate between what is the right desire, what is wrong desire. And therefore, we need the guidance from senior Vaishnavas, especially the spiritual master. So when he guides, then automatically our life is perfect. Then we do not have the danger of something else happening in our life. Of course, these desires we have to be utmostly sincere. If we are not sincere, we can go on cheating ourselves, thinking that we are making advancement in spiritual life. Recently, I heard a story from one of my friends. There was a sculptor, this is a real story, a sculptor who was making a Garuda Stambha for a temple. And the deity of Garudji was being carved. And he had given a stipulated time that within 3 months I will complete this deity. So after 3 months, the person comes to take the deity. He says, "No, I'm sorry. I'm not satisfied with this deity. So I'm making another deity for you. It will take another 3 months." So he didn't argue with him. Just goes back, comes back after 3 months. And there are two deities of Garudji, identical. So he said, "It is identical. Why did you make me wait for 3 months? They're exactly the same. I can't see any difference." And then the sculptor said, "No, the previous deity has a very small crack somewhere on the face, which you cannot see." So this man said, "But I can't see, and no one can see. Also, this deity is going to be on a stambha, which is on a height, so who can see? No one's going to come closer to this deity." So he said a very wonderful thing. He said, "No one can see, but I can see. And I have not made the deity for you. I have made the deity because I want to make the deity. I want to be honest with myself." So this is how a devotee takes responsibility of his desires. That we want to be honest with our desires. What are our desires? What is playing on our mind? That should be very repeatedly checked. So in this way, a devotee is, even though he is checking his desires, sometimes he feels that it is impossible that I can sustain my devotional desires. I have so many other desires and I am simply being pulled in every direction. So what shall I do? And that's where we come to the collective desires. That is the, you can say, the wonder of association of the devotees. As we said, sangata sanjayate kama. With the attachment or with the association of the objects of senses, we get driven away from Krishna consciousness. But with the association of pure devotees who have pure desires, our Krishna consciousness flourishes. So therefore, collectively also we have to be eager to serve Krishna. If we are eager, then automatically Krishna will reveal himself to us. So we do not have the power alone to attract Krishna. Therefore what do? We come together on the days like this. We come together and pray to Krishna. We chant together the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that collective desire to please Krishna is very wonderful. Because when we come in contact with each other, the positive side affects us. And Krishna reveals even though we are unqualified. That's a very wonderful thing. We are totally unqualified, but the devotees are qualified. Pure devotees are qualified. Krishna se tomara Krishna dite paro. Pure devotees have Krishna with them, so they can deliver Krishna to us. And what are we supposed to do? Amita kangala Krishna Krishna boli dhai tava pacha. We have to simply follow them. Go behind them and they will bestow that fortune of associating with Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going to Vrindavan. And he decides that on the way to Vrindavan, I would like to visit the devotees in Bengal. So he comes to the village of Panihati through Ganga. And as soon as he is on the bank of Ganga, thousands and thousands of people come to see him. And Raghav Pandit takes him to his house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays there for one day. Then from there, he goes to another place called as Kumar Hatta, where Shivas Pandit used to stay. Shivas Pandit, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas, he couldn't stay in Navadvip, Mayapur. So he was feeling a lot of separation from the Lord. It was painful. So therefore he decides to change his residence to Kumar Hatta. So there also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays for 2 days. Then he goes on to Shivanand Sen's house. Stays for one more day. And ultimately he lands in Vidyanagar. And Vidyanagar, he stays in the house of a devotee whose name was Vidyavachaspati. He was the brother of Sarvam Bhattacharya. And when people heard that he is staying in the Vachaspati's house, so many people came that there was no place. In fact, there was no place in the boats. There were so many boats, but they were all so filled with the devotees that some of the boats actually sank. And still, somehow the devotees went to the other side. Devotees came, arranged more boats, but by the time the boats were arranged, they were all drowned. Some people, they did not know what to do because the boats are not there. So they took empty pots and started swimming. Some people took the barks of banana and started floating. Some people, they did not know how to swim, but still they swam across the river. There was amazing enthusiasm. And there was so much of forest around, there were no streets. But by the devotees going again and again, the streets were created. The forests were cleared. Every tree, they had devotees on the top of the trees. Wherever you could see, there were only devotees. And they started shouting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing this collective eagerness to see him. Now, how many of them were qualified, we don't know. Some of them might be have just come for the first time. Some may be very experienced devotees. But collectively, they all got darshan of the Lord. Why? Because they came together with that eagerness to see the Lord. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out of the house and started dancing with them, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
And then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this went on for 5 days. So many devotees were coming, that no one could keep any count of how many devotees were coming. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very tired. So he decides that, I need some rest. So therefore, quietly he escapes the house and goes to Kulia, present in Navadvip, and stays in the house of Madhav Das. But here, the devotees are very eager to see Lord Chaitanya. So they came and told Vidyavachaspati, we want to see the Lord. Where is he? You have kept him secretly. Only you want to take our association. What about us? Don't be so cruel. Devotees are supposed to be soft-hearted. So many things they started saying. Some people, they came and told Vidyavachaspati, we will not tell anyone. You don't worry. Only allow me. I have never taken his darshan. I will come secretly behind. But he is saying, but I don't know where the Lord is. I am as grief-stricken as you. I need to know where he is. But people were not ready to believe him. People started accusing him. This happens very common in devotees' life. Particularly those devotees who are managing crowds for, Janmashtami is coming now. So we know how they have a tough task. In yatras or in festivals, it's a very tough task. Because devotees can say anything. They can try to bribe you from various angles. So they were trying to bribe Vidyavachaspati, but he was completely grief-stricken. He was thinking, where the Lord has gone? And then one Brahman comes and tells, the Lord is in Madhav Das's house. So Vidyavachaspati loudly says, come on, let's go. I also want to see the Lord. And all the devotees, they start running towards Navadvip. And again, there were no boats. Because all boats were sinking. As soon as a boat would come, thousands of people would get onto the boats. And boat would sink. And still, somehow they crossed the river. This is the power of these collective desires, being eager to see Krishna. Krishna also obliges. So that is our fortunate situation, that we are together and we can see the Lord by the power of each other's association. Particularly the pure devotees, they have the power to deliver Krishna to us. But what is the price we have to pay? The price of our sincere desire to align our desires to Krishna. In India we have so many temples of many, many demigods. And people go to the demigods wanting to fulfill their desires. Give me money, give me health, solve my problem. This shanti, that shanti. We do so many shantis. Without realizing that actually all this is under complete control of Krishna. Also we have one great fear in our hearts that these demigods may be unhappy if we start worshipping Krishna. But actually they are devotees of Krishna. They are never unhappy. In India every house has many, many, many demigods on their walls or in the altar. And sometimes a devotee, when he becomes Krishna conscious, then he hears that if you worship Krishna, everyone is automatically satisfied. If you water the root of the tree is satisfied. So all demigods are automatically satisfied. But the decision to actually start worshipping Krishna exclusively sometimes does not come up so easily. Why? Because there is fear that I may displease the demigod. But that is lack of knowledge. Demigods are very pleased if we actually worship Lord Shri Krishna. So if we worship Lord Shri Krishna, the demigods, the planets, everyone, they automatically become shant. There is no further shanti required. Huh? They automatically become completely satisfied. So therefore, a devotee does not engage in any other activity except exclusive Krishna conscious activities. Because the Krishna conscious activities nourish our desire to serve Krishna. And the best process which has been given to us by the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, you know how much desire he had. By his example he has given us this desire. For example, no one first thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he said, can become true. But he had the desire. No, I will make it true. I will act, not that he had this arrogance that I will make it true. You see his prayers when he is writing in Jaladutta. He is saying, make me a puppet in your hand. I should not have any other desire except your desire. I am ready to dance according to what you say. Make my words speak those important things which will convince this population. So he became successful. In America, thousands of people followed him. They started chanting. And then Srila Prabhupada was also proud that some of his disciples, they went to London. And in London, they opened a temple. They attracted great personalities, the Beatles. And so many people were following Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada would say, what my sannyasi godbrothers couldn't do, my grihastha disciples have done. How old are they in Krishna consciousness? Just 2 years old. Just 2 years old, disciples who are grihasthas can do so much. Then no one ever thought that, okay, at least these are democratic countries. What about the communists? No one thought that Krishna consciousness can go to the communist countries. It was known as iron curtain. That means, you know, curtain of iron, you can imagine, nothing can pass. But Srila Prabhupada still went. With a very strong desire. The eagerness in his heart took him to Moscow. And what happened? He just met one person. And how much time he had with that one person? Morning to evening. That's all. And just morning to evening, he told him everything in Krishna consciousness. This is the power of the pure desire of a devotee. What does Srila Prabhupada desire? That Krishna consciousness should take root in every town and village. What happened today? After that one single devotee, another devotee came. Another devotee came. Today, thousands and thousands of devotees are there in Russia, Ukraine, the whole of previous USSR. Thousands of them. Probably they are following better Krishna consciousness than many of Indian cities. So wonderful devotees. So why this happened? Because there was one single person who desired like this. He had that pure desire to serve Krishna. So, we make our desires together with him. And with that process, we attract Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, on our own strength, it is not possible. It's very, very difficult. Because we are completely under the control of material energy, which is acting upon us by the three modes of material nature. And therefore, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, all these anarthas come in our heart. But the acharyas teach us how to get rid of these anarthas, how to cultivate the right desires. And that is the whole thing about the Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam tells us nothing but how to cultivate the right desires. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking the role of a devotee, he is telling us, first be humble and chant the holy names. Trunadapi sunichena tarorapi saishnuna. Amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. So when you are with the devotees, the association should be accepted with that humility, and then we can chant the holy name continuously. And once we chant these holy names sincerely, with the pure desire, it's very important why we chant. If we chant for something else, the result will be disastrous. But if we chant very sincerely, Krishna notices that. Even though pronunciation may not be right, we might have so many faults in our chanting, but the desire is pure. So Krishna looks at that desire. And then Krishna gives us the strength to say. What do we say? Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. What is most precious for everyone, this word? Everyone is hankering after this. Dhanam, janam, sundarim. Everyone is hankering, but the devotee is saying, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kame. I don't desire these things. I don't even desire liberation. Because I am ready to come, mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahetu kitare. And then, going further, he says, what do I desire then? I don't desire these things, but what do I desire? I desire, ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavambudam. Somehow I am fallen in this material world. Please pick me up. This is my desire. You pick me up. Because I don't have strength. You pick me up and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. How much do I desire? Then when I chant your holy name, let my voice choke up. Let tears flow from my eyes. How much I desire that I have the consciousness that when I don't see you, this whole world becomes shunya for me. It's a big zero. This is the devotee's desire. The devotee is not happy with all the money, bank balance, property, health, followers. He's not happy. He is thinking that if Krishna is not there, then my whole life is a zero, big zero. I will not be satisfied. And then, after having so much attachment to Krishna, it is not that devotee is desiring that I should always be with Krishna. He is ready. Krishna, if you want, you can trample me. If you want, you can embrace me. Whatever you may do, my desire is to be always your servant. That is the positive desire. And if we can cultivate this, then our life is successful. Then the acharya, whatever they have invested their energy in writing all these books, telling us all these nice stories from Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We hear so many stories every day. They are all worth hearing if we can somehow make our desires very pure. And still whatever is remaining, that will be taken care by our collective efforts. When we are together, just like in a music concert, there is a chorus. There is a lead singer and there is a chorus. So in chorus, not necessarily that every person is a good singer. But when you hear the chorus, it's a good thing. You hear it very nicely. It comes to you as a very nice music. But in the chorus, not everyone is actually an accomplished singer. There are some of them are, you know, just neophytes. But still, the singing is very nice. So that is what the power of our association, the collective desires which we can offer to Krishna. So now the coming month is full of all these Madhava Tithis. Very soon we'll be celebrating the appearance day of Lord Balaram, Balaram Jayanti, on the 5th. And there will be a festival here. So Balaram is how he detects faults. He sees the desire. He saw Romaharsh and Sutta sitting. Everyone got up. He could detect the desire in his heart that he wants to be worshipped more than Krishna. So what does he do? He punishes him. Lord Chaitanya also, by neglecting Ramdas Vipra, he punishes him. So we have to take that responsibility that for my wrong desires, Krishna, you can punish me. And correct me. Don't neglect me. Neglect is very dangerous. Krishna will not neglect us if we are sincere, even though we might fall down. But the sincerity is to be shown by our desire. So, Balaram Jayanti is coming. After that, Sri Krishna Janmashtami is coming. Then Radhashtami is coming. So many wonderful tithis, Madhava tithis are on our way. We should take full advantage and chant as much as possible, very sincerely and collectively and individually. Cultivate the pure desires in our heart so that at the end of this life we can say that we have done something worth in this material world. Whether to go back to Godhead or not, that Krishna will decide. But at least while we are living, we should make all out effort so that we can at the end say that I tried my best. As they say, try your best and leave the rest to Krishna. So Krishna, how much Krishna is eager to take us back to Godhead. This just came to mind, I must share with you. This is a very nice story of Prabhupada's disciple, Jananivas Prabhu. He was asked a question by one of his god brothers, will you go back to Godhead? A very direct question. Because many times somebody leaves his body, then we wonder where he has gone. And he just waited for a few moments, closed his eyes and he said, yes, I will go back to Godhead. Very profound answer. Generally, no devotee will say like that, I will go back to Godhead. And people will always say, no, I am so fallen, I can't go back to Godhead. Generally, if anyone asks, all of us, we'll say, no, there is no question. I don't even know whether I'll become a devotee. But Jananivas Prabhu, he said, yes, I'll go back to Godhead. So he was asked, why are you so sure? How can you be so sure that you can go back to Godhead? And he said, because I've heard that actually Krishna is very, very eager to take us. So as soon as we say, I want to come, immediately comes and takes us. So he said, I just closed my eyes to find out whether I really want to go. So that's what we have to find out, whether really we want to go or not. That is the right desire. Because it is fearful, no? To give up this body, it's a very, very fearful situation. So we have to find out whether really do you want to go back to Godhead and cultivate that desire. Because alone, individually, we may be fearful. But when the devotees are together with us, then we can take on to any challenge. And challenge is, first of all, to simply chant the holy name very sincerely. If you can chant attentively and somehow be in the association of the devotees, that is all that is necessary, because that is going to purify all our desires. And once, like Srila Prabhupada on his last days, you know, his godbrothers would come and meet him and he would just say, "Kuch ichha nahi. Now I don't have any desires. Krishna Bhakti is Nishkama." So Nishkama means he has no other material desire. He is full of desires to serve Krishna, but no material desires. So this is Prabhupada. These are the devotees. And in their association, if we can become Nishkama from material desires, then the destination is guaranteed to us, because Krishna is very eager. He is waiting when this person decides to come back to me. Even as devotees, we get attached to benefits of devotional service. Devotional service gives us benefits. You know, nice, good health, peaceful mind, good friends. You can, materially it is a very wonderful lifestyle. If you see, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, devotees, bechare, you know, they have given up so much. But no, even from a completely materialistic angle, I don't think anyone can live like this. Such a perfect lifestyle. You cannot get friends who are non-envious. It's impossible. You have friends who are completely non-envious. They don't have, they just love you. Because why? Because you sometimes attempt to chant the holy name. You are showing that I want to become a devotee. Bas, that is sufficient. For other devotees, that is sufficient reason to love you. In fact, they love even those who do not want to chant. Their love is a different level. So nice devotees, nice lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, peaceful mind, beautiful stories, fantastic philosophy. What more do you want in life? So from material angle also, sometimes we become very comfortable and we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave. Nay, this is very nice. But one day you will have to leave. That's the fact. So at that time, where we go is decided by what we think, what we desire. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, Antakale cha mameva. Smaran Mukta Akara. You think about Krishna at the time of death. And that practice is through the chanting and the process of devotional service which we do every day. So I thank all of you for being here in participating in this Sunday Love Feast. I am extremely sorry if I have not fulfilled your expectation of the class. But whatever I knew and whatever I heard, I have spoken. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. I heard that there is some interesting story about how you came to Krishna consciousness. So, can you share that with all the devotees?
You want to hear about Yamadutas? The amazing thing is, I will tell this story, but before the story I must tell you that in spite of knowing the truths of life, still we don't become serious in Krishna consciousness. That's the amazing thing. That is the power of Maya. Anyway, just want to share with you that Yamadutas exist. Don't think that they don't exist. So since Gaurang Prabhu is telling me to share this story of my own life. I was born in a village where there was no transport system. And one bus would come in 24 hours. That was the only transport. So there was no access to any facilities. And still people were happy. But when the medical needs were there, there was a problem. So the doctors would come from some 15 kilometers distance on a horse cart. and we had to pay 100 rupees at that time. This is in 70s. 100 rupees was a big money. So I had a fever, typhoid fever. And previously typhoid means almost like everyone would start, it was like cancer. You know, today the typhoid means typhoid ho gaya, parso kaam pe chala gaya. You know, this is how now typhoid it is. But previously typhoid means like, almost like cancer, that you know, whether he will survive or not. And I was getting some medications which were mostly Ayurvedic. And it went on for quite some time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, almost 40 days. And towards the end, you know, my family members, they were Varkaris, Lord Vitthal's devotees. So they would chant every evening. But that particular day, I remember that I was lying on the bed and I turned, because my back was hurting, so I turned towards the wall. And I don't remember two, three people, very ghastly people, they started laughing at me very hideously. They were laughing at me and they had these typical brown bodies and large teeth and different kind of hairs. So I told my father that there are some people who are laughing at me. So he said, "Oh, really?" So he said, "You turn this side and chant the holy name." And then he informed the whole family. So nearly 40, 50 people came. And they continuously started chanting, "Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram." So continuously they were chanting. So again I got tired on this side. So again I went on to the other side. And they were there on the wall, looking at me, laughing at me. So I told my father, "They are there." So he said, "No problem, just turn on this side, chant the holy name." And then throughout the night, I was only looking at this abhay. I was very afraid of them. And kept on chanting. The family members kept on chanting. And from next day onwards, I started improving. And I'm sitting here today. But after this incident, practically I lost all interest in so-called material life. You know, I was just living because I was not dying. So I lived on like that till my MBBS years. Again, becoming a doctor was not my desire. I had no desires in one sense to do something. It was happening automatically. Things were automatically happening. I have a lot of faith in that Krishna works in these things. He has his own plan. We are not the controllers, because I had thought something else and something else happened, and it still happens like that. That I may think something else happens. And I'm sure all of you share this with me. Everyone will share. In fact, one meeting I attended with very top people, and the icebreaker was that everyone shares their story, what they wanted to become and what they became. This was the icebreaker, just to introduce each other. And amazingly, not a single person became what he wanted to become. It was amazing. Not a single person that I wanted to become and I achieved it. No. Everyone was wanting to become something else. They became something else. And then they added the last line. But now we are happy what we have. So this is like the material world forces you to accept and say, "Theek hai, chalta hai, aisi zindagi. Let's go on." So like that, I was going on with what's happening in my life. And in the second MBBS, you know, I came in contact with the devotees. Started with Vishwaroop Prabhu and Dayaram Prabhu. And because I had this past experience, first time in my life I got a goal in life. And it was such a relief. See, to get a goal in life is a big relief. Because a life which is like just going ahead without knowing where you are going is a very frustrating experience. Very, very frustrating experience. So even though I was living a so-called happy life, there was nothing wrong with what was going on, but I didn't know where I am going. We were just doing things because we were supposed to be done. Like Devamrita Prabhu Maharaj, he told us this, that how the material world works, that people are telling you, you do this and you will be happy. You go here and you will be happy. And then you reach there and look around and you don't find happiness. And you look around whom to tell, and everyone looks happy, so you can't tell. So you feel very, you can say, inferior in the heart, ki, why I am not happy? Why everyone is happy? But when everyone is asked and you go inside, then everyone has the same situation. No one is actually happy. Because you can't be happy in this material world. Without Krishna, how can you be happy? So when I came in contact with the devotees and found that this is very important, I took it, you can say, little seriously. And I'm still trying to become a devotee. By your mercy, maybe one day I'll become a devotee. Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Okay, so thank you very much for being here. Now we'll have a nice kirtan. So please chant very eagerly and enthusiastically. If somebody can sing.